Lesson number 4, Holy Spirit and Holy Trinity. We have thought about God the Father and God the Son. This week we are going to think about the Holy Spirit and how the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit constitute a Trinity. The belief in the Trinity is not spelled out in so many words, but we recognize the presence of three beings. Now, in order to be a person, you must possess certain characteristics of personality. Now, why don't you make a list sometime of what constitutes a person? What's the difference between a person and a chimpanzee, say, or an animal, or a computer? And if the Father possesses the traits of personality, and the Son possesses the traits of personality, and the Spirit possesses the traits of personality, then each is a person. And if the Scriptures tells us that each is one with the other, then the Lord our God is one God. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, Jesus tells us, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. So there's the Father, who will send the Comforter in my name, my. So you've got the Father, the Comforter, and Jesus Christ. So right here in our opening text, we are introduced to three beings. It is not stated, but there is little problem in the Scriptures to discover the presence of the triune God. Part number one. The Spirit worked with the Trinity as the Creator and the Inspirer. Right at the beginning, the Spirit moved upon the face of the earth. The first verse tells us that Elohim created. Elohim is a plural noun. Why it's plural has been answered by different scholars in different ways. It has a singular that appears also in the Scriptures many times. But here the plural is used. When God says, "Let us make man in our likeness," the plural is used. But as I have said so many times before, Elohim is used with singular verbs to indicate the unity of activity of the plurality of God, and singular adjectives to indicate that the qualities of deity are one with them all. And now it's the Spirit among the Elohim that moved upon the face of the water. And this word moved is used to describe a cock fluttering over the hen as he vivifies the life that is to be born. So it's the life-giving Spirit who worked with the Father and the Son at the creation of the world. Peter gives to us an insight that the Spirit was the active agent that moved or carried along holy men. The word moved, holy men of God spake as they were moved, is used to describe the ship on which Paul was sailing when they put the sails up and the wind got into the sails and moved, was driven, impelled. So the Holy Spirit was active not only at creation, but he's been active through every true prophet as he moved him to reveal the will and power of God. In the latter part of this section, you will see a list of personality traits that are given here concerning the Holy Spirit. He's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient. Omnipotent means all-powerful. Omnipresent means that he's everywhere. Omniscience, he knows everything. Eternal, there is no time when he was not. He is called another of the same kind, Allos, Parakletos, another comforter of the same kind as Jesus was. Jesus was a personality. Therefore, he was the same kind. He teaches, he recalls, he witnesses, he guides, he forewarns. He can be grieved. And so we see from these statements that the Holy Spirit is a personal being similar to Jesus Christ. And this brings us to part number two, the Spirit and the Son. As our opening verse indicates, the Spirit was the agent, according to Dr. Luke, for the conception of Jesus Christ in the Virgin Mary. In the story, we are told that the Father sends his messenger, Gabriel, to the Virgin Mary, promising that the Holy Ghost will come upon her and that Jesus will form within her. So it's the Father, the Holy Ghost, or Holy Spirit, and Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the agent that links the Father and the Son in the Incarnation. And long ago, Augustine made a very touching allusion. God is love. He is the great lover. Love cannot live in a vacuum. It needs a beloved. Jesus Christ was the beloved Son. For a lover and a beloved to maintain their relationship, they must be linked by the Spirit of love. And so we have the beloved, the lover, and the Holy Spirit. Now the Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon and to Anna that Jesus Christ, who had been incarnated through the agency of the Spirit, was now present in the temple. So the Holy Spirit knew the time, he knew the place, he knew the person, he came into the mind of Simeon and enabled the aged prophet to recognize. Jesus Christ grew by means of the Spirit. He was full of the Spirit. Jesus Christ was led of the Spirit to his baptism at Jordan. Jesus Christ was filled with the Spirit who abode on him as he prayed on the banks of the Jordan after his baptism. Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus Christ received power from the Holy Spirit to recognize the temptations of Satan. And Jesus Christ was strengthened to triumph over Satan through the Holy Spirit. Part number three, the Spirit and Christian, and us. As Jesus talked to Nicodemus, he revealed the relationship of the Spirit to the newborn child in language very similar to the relationship that he had sustained to his incarnate birth through the Holy Spirit. Gabriel told Mary that the Holy Spirit would fill her and that new life that would be born would be called the Son of God. Jesus says that from above must come the Spirit that will enable man to be born again. Nicodemus was worried, how could I press myself back into my mother's womb as an adult? And Jesus says, don't worry about the whys and the wherefores and the hows, just do it. As the wind blows the trees, the Holy Spirit will come into your life and the new life will be born. When the Holy Spirit enables the Christian to be born again, the Holy Spirit makes of that born-again Christian a witness to the world. Now notice carefully Christ's words in John 16:7-14. The Holy Spirit will come. And when he has come to you, he will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Notice that. He convinces the world through mankind. He's telling the disciples and he's telling us that I am ready to fill you with the Holy Ghost, who will teach you and guide you and instruct you. But when he has come, he will convince through you of sin, what not ought to be done, of righteousness, that which is required of God, and of judgment, the final goal towards which we all move. And He is ready to guide us, and He's ready to speak concerning the things of God to us and through us. Part number three, let me call your attention to it again, is the Spirit in us. Now, part number four is us and the Spirit. God is ready to come through the Spirit and take possession of us. Now, in part number four, how do we respond? And Paul reminds the Corinthians, don't you know that you are the holy place, the naos of God, and that the Spirit of God is dwelling in you as the Shekinah dwelt in the most holy place? He is ready to dwell in our hearts. And so God and the Spirit and the Son are ready to take up their abode within human personality. The Holy Spirit is in you. And when the Holy Spirit is in us, bringing His life, then the fruit, the nine fruit of the Spirit, will be brought to us. My friend, Clyde Provencher, has got a very interesting orchard in Angwin. And I have looked with admiration at some of the trees to which he has grafted different species. Several kinds of plums on one tree, several kinds of peaches on another tree. When the graft comes in, then the root can bring forth different kinds of fruit. And I like to think that when the Holy Spirit comes into my life and He lives through me, and various branches grow out, that one branch will bring forth the fruit of love, another of joy, another of peace, another of long-suffering, while I provide a wild root system that can be directed by the Holy Spirit. Part number five, the Spirit and the Church. So far we have thought of the Spirit's relationship to us individually. But the Holy Spirit has a relationship with the corporate body of believers. And Jesus told His disciples that they would receive dynamite, dunamis, power, strength, devastating when undisciplined, as in the case of Saul of Tarsus, but irresistible when disciplined. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you, the church, made up of individuals, will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the world, beginning nearest and spreading out. And this prediction, that had also long before been predicted by Joel, was fulfilled after Christ's ascension. First, on the 120, including the 11 apostles, in the upper room. The Holy Ghost came and gave them power to witness. And as they witnessed on the day of Pentecost, thousands believed. And then the Holy Ghost came again on 5,000 believers. That included the 120 and the 12 apostles now. And the church throughout Judea and Galilee enjoyed a time of peace. Strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. Part number six, the Holy Trinity. As you see in that quotation from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, the doctrine of the Trinity is not so much heard as overheard in the statements of Scripture. It is not explicitly stated, but it is certainly implicit in all the Scriptures. As we read in that wonderful benediction, grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you. So here Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit are equated, put side by side, and their blessing, their benediction, comes to us as a sustaining, supporting, encouraging force within our personalities.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.